Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
All free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, new week for the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're glad you're with us, Bob Getty and Luke Johnson. We're doing the show today from the Southern Bank Core Studios here in Hattiesburg and in Laurel. We're glad you're with us. Dickie's Barbecue Pit sponsors the first segment of every Eagle Hour. It's a great place to take your family for dinner. It's a great place to cater your next baseball weekend. We do that two or three times a year, and we've never been disappointed. You won't be either. Dickie's Barbecue, great supporters of Southern Miss Athletics. Well, a great week for Southern Miss baseball. Golden Eagles go 4-0, sweep the weekend series against Marshall. Pop into two polls as of this morning, breaking the perfect game in Baseball America polls at number 25. Head baseball coach Christian Ostrander joins us. Coach, I'm going to go ahead and venture a guess that you, like Coach Berry before you, don't really care about the polls.
Could care less. Absolutely. Happy for the recognition for our program and fan base and all that, but it means absolutely nothing to us and right now.
Right. What matters, Coach, is winning, and you did a lot of that this weekend. A clean sweep of first of all, let me ask you, I thought the Marshall team was a little better than people thought they were. They were kids that just never quit fighting, Coach.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you know, I think you kind of draw the best out of folks when you come to this environment. It's got to be great and fun for them. So, and I think, you know, because of the history of this program, too, I think, you know, we all know there's a target, you know, on us and so forth. So that usually tends to, you know, had the potential of bringing the best out of folks, but I thought they played great. I thought they competed. I felt like we had to really work hard to get through that lineup. It wasn't just, you know, a chip shot and gimmies. You know, we had to earn it. And I thought they had a good weekend. And man, you know, they were right there, chance to win at least one, and you know, could have won two of them. I mean, you know, it's just. You know, a lot of respect for them. I think they'll win some games for sure in this league.
Yeah, and real quickly, you have to admire a bunch of kids that have lost two games. They're down bad in the third game, and they're still fighting in the top of the ninth inning. So tip of the hat to Marshall's kids. All right, so you win the opener 8-4. Davis Gillespie with a huge night, 3 hits and 5 RBIs. That on the back of another great performance by Nico Mazza with just 6 hits over 6 1/3 innings and a season-high 10 strikeouts. And then Cross Sibley comes in to wrap the thing up. So all in all, a really solid and good performance Friday night, Coach.
Oh, yeah, it was. I thought Nico, once again, you know, did a good job. I don't think his strike percentage was still – it met our standard, but it was right there at the cusp of it, which – I think some of his previous starts, he's been, you know, around that 66-67%, you know, versus 63. So it's amazing how just a few more strikes here and there, you know, can make things even easier on you and stuff. But I thought he did a great job and set the tone for the weekend and covered 6-plus innings. And, you know, then, like I said, Cross coming in behind him and finishing it up. So it was a good start.
Yeah, 2 hits from Dalton McIntyre, 2 from Ozzie Pratt, who I thought had a really good weekend, and then 3 hits from Davis Gillespie. Then we get to Saturday, and I want to ask you this, Coach. You've been in the game a long time. Have you ever coached a game or played in a game where you entered the 8th inning and both pitchers were throwing no hitters?
No, sir, I have not. I'm pretty sure I would remember that if I was part of that. But no, that was crazy. And you know, and it happens so fast. I mean, it's like, good Lord, you look up and it's, you know, we've been playing an hour and seven innings or something like that. It was unbelievable. So it was, you know, that young man for them, hats off to him. I thought he pitched great. And I thought Billy matched him, and I was really proud of him.
Yeah, and, you know, I would think, Coach, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, that when both pitchers are pitching like that and you know, they're just no hits, does that increase the pressure on a pitcher every inning, or how do you think that does affect them?
No, you know, I wouldn't think they're not feeling it. We are, you know. We're feeling it, I think. I think they're in the moment. They got rhythm. And they're just competing, you know, and things feel good, you know. So I can't speak for them, but I can remember myself years ago when I pitched that you don't know, man. You kind of get numb to everything else. You're just rolling and focusing on your execution and your job. So, but that might be a good question to ask Billy.
Yeah, great baseball game, I thought. Really, really entertaining baseball game. And then Marshall gets the home run in the eighth. We match the home run in the eighth. And then it comes down, 13 innings, I believe. And everybody's still talking about the play, Coach. Just describe what happened and what the ruling exactly was.
Well, at the time, I just was speculating what the ruling was. But, after yesterday's home plate meeting, at umpire meeting at home plate, you know, it was what I thought. So, that was just a, bang, bang play at the plate. And, from my angle, I said, well, he looked like he was out. But I thought, you know what? What the heck? Didn't really enter my mind at that point that he was blocking the plate. I just said, well, let's just see. You know, it's a 13th inning. We have a challenge. Why not? And so I told him I wanted to review. And, so there you go. And when I saw him walk out, and after it took a once it, when it started taking a while, I'm going, okay. Because when I remember watching it on the video board, the replay, and the picture they showed to, well, you know, he might have been in that baseline, you know, before he had the ball. And sure enough, when, you know, they came out and waved Coach Bills over, I said, oh, baby, here we go. So it was, there you go. That's that was a call.
And to clarify what you did to me off air, the Marshall coach was understandably upset, but the things he was saying not directed at you, correct, Coach?
No, he was everything. He was, and I had sympathy for me. And when we shook his hand, he's shaking in anger almost and just frustration, you know, for the game to be ended that way. And no, all the words he was barking were directed at the umpires, whether they were, you know, within view or earshot or not, but, and I totally, totally get it. There wasn't much I could say, you know, in that time. I just, whatever, just kind of let him do his thing.
Right. Well, it's understandable. You know, if you're in his shoes, anybody in his shoes probably going to feel exactly the same way. Another good, tough game yesterday. And then, Carson Pato, AKA Tuna, He puts it away, basically. Well, we thought he put it away. Let me put it that way, Coach. We thought he put it away in the seventh inning with the 3-run home run. But credit to Marshall. Their kids came fighting back at the end of the game. But the Eagles prevailed 7-5 and got your first weekend sweep of the season. That had to feel pretty good.
It did. It did. It was, it was kind of a vanilla game, you know, for the first six innings, in my opinion. Just not a whole lot going on either way. And then finally we put that inning together in the seventh and, you know, kind of got a little momentum. I thought it was flat, I'll be honest with you. But that kind of sparked it and, you know, we were rolling. Then, yeah, in the ninth, they just, you know, just like baseball's at this level, the way it goes. I mean, they made us work for it. And, but that's fine and that's part of it. And McCarty did a great job, had to get him out of there after they got a few hits. And then JB really comes in with their best hitter. That's scary. He could leave the yard in a heartbeat. And for the second time during the weekend, JB got him on a, you know, weak ground out to the right side on a changeup. So,
right.
Very proud of that.
Great weekend. Luke, you, I, and Momo Montenegro had the privilege of watching Carson belt that bomb out together yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, I apologize, Coach. I was sitting in the wrong spot, and finally when I got up there with Momo and Bob, we started scoring runs to break it open. So I just apologize for that. About a minute left, about a minute and a half left in the segment. We can talk more on the other side if we need to. What's your message in the back part of the bullpen? You go back to, you know, the Alabama game and then yesterday, you know, how do you get, you know, JB and English and some of those guys that, you know, come in to slam the door, just get them some confidence moving forward after a couple of rough outings?
Well, to me, I can't ask, you know, McCarty to overdo it, and I feel like I might have done that the last two times, you know, last Tuesday against Alabama and this one, and, you know, I have that much confidence in him, though, and that's you know, that's a good thing, but he's also, I need to look out for that, and fresh is good sometimes. Sometimes it's hard taking a guy out that's rolling, but, no, I mean, it's, you know, JB, I don't question anything about him. He's fine. He got hit the other night. Momentum's a real thing, and, but I thought he looked great the two times this weekend. So, and McCarty has too. It's just, you know, you got to know when to get him out of there and know when to, you know, leave him in. And sometimes that's the hardest decision to make.
We're talking to head baseball coach Christian Ostrander. That's how we very happily kick off every Monday. Going to continue our conversation on the other side of this short break. Don't forget the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. It's always available. Thousands of you a month are downloading it. We're grateful to you for that. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. More with Coach Oz on the other side of the break.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, Campus Bookmark, campusbookmark.net. You know the place, Hardy Street, great place to buy all your baseball swag. Gracious, no, my wife has been buying some here in the last couple weeks. Miss Kathleen's always got it. Campus Bookmark opens 7 days a week. Talking to head baseball coach Christian Ostrander. And before I throw it to Luke, I want to get him more involved, Coach. I was telling you off air, I'm visiting Saturday afternoon with Colby Allen, who's just been so great on the mound as a relief pitcher. And he shocked me. He told me that he didn't pitch in high school, that you taught him everything he knows about pitching.
Well, he knew a lot more than he gives himself credit for, you know. But he was no, it's true. He was a guy. He was a catcher predominantly. Didn't pitch much at all. But we got a chance to see him one of our camps on the mound, and he made an impression. And in the summer of 22, when we were kind of got thin from the draft and some other things, you know, he was a guy that was, you know, came in on our minds. And me and Coach Berry went and watched him pitch a summer game together, and the rest is history.
And he's done such a great job. All right, look, get it here with Coach Oz.
Coach, let's go back to Tuesday night against Bama. Huge win, big crowd. Generally speaking, you know, your observations of that night, and anything specific you want to fill in?
Well, it was a great crowd. It was an unbelievable atmosphere, and it was really cool that we could keep them engaged the whole time by striking early and then continue to add some runs. So it was really, really a fun environment. Really, really happy for our players, especially these new guys, to experience that, you know, because we know what it's like and, you know, and stuff. So it was a postseason atmosphere type game, and I thought our guys showed out and competed their tails off.
Davis Gillespie went 2-for-4 in that game, and really the first full week of him being at first base, he did have some errors in that Alabama game, but at the same time, Golden Eagle fans see him learning the position, Coach, but seeing why he's in that lineup because of the bat and what he did this weekend too.
Yeah, old boy can hit, and you know, and we knew that, and you know, there's going to be some bumps in the road and learning position or trying to figure out best way to get him in that lineup and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's going to be just continual growth, and you know, the more reps he gets, and more good plays, bad plays, whatever. I mean, he's going to learn from them. So it's just like anything. You got to give him time a little bit to kind of blossom and you know figure some things out.
Coach, let's also talk defensively at catcher. I think you started all three guys, all three games this weekend. Is that a position you're just seeing who's going to take a hold of it?
I'm waiting to see. Yeah, who's the alpha? You know, and competition's the best thing, in my opinion, to make somebody rise. I hope, and I think they're all deserving and stuff. They've all done a good job, and they all can bring something different. And you know, and I'm proud of all of them. And you know, we're just gonna. You know, just keep doing matching up what we think's a good matchup, whether it's based on offensively or defensively or whatever. But you know, it's as much as you might want to have one guy's catching, you know, 70% of the games, another one catching 30. Maybe we'll have a different split, but we'll see how it goes.
Guy pitched yesterday. Will Armistead, best start for him in several weeks. Didn't the strikeout numbers weren't like they were yesterday, but he only gave up three hits, gave up that one run. And how do you think Will responded after having a couple of rough outings?
You know, he responded just kind of really like I thought he would. He was this close last week. I mean, it was if you don't, you know, inflict some wounds into yourself with some freebies or something, or if we make that play, I mean, he could have been five or six innings last week and kept it right there. So that's just how the margin is so thin for sometimes it looking good or not looking good. And usually the ingredient that gets it on the wrong side of that is when you give up the freebies or you hit guys or walk guys and then the hits come. But Will didn't do that yesterday. I thought he was good. I thought he mixed well. He, you know, gave us five strong innings, and that's all I could ask for. You know, five innings, one run, I'll take that anytime.
Yep.
Turning ahead to tomorrow, back to Trustmark to take on Ole Miss. I think the Rebels have won 9 out of 10. They won a series off nationally ranked South Carolina this weekend. What's your thoughts about Ole Miss and the matchup tomorrow night?
Well, we're gonna, you know, looks like they can swing it. Their numbers are pretty gaudy, and you know, and I know they got some arms that are going to be pretty dang good too. So you know, it's another great opponent. It's another great opportunity for us. I think we're a very good opponent as well. I'm sure they're feeling the same way. And you know, we just got to go and put a good baseball game together. And it's going to take a lot of folks, you know, and stuff, especially on my pitching staff. I know that. And but to me, that's opportunity. And some of these guys have been waiting, chomping at the bit. So you know, they might get their opportunity. They need to run to it.
Hey, Coach, no, I don't think – I think it's fair to say no player stepped into bigger shoes this year than Ozzie Pratt, replacing number 10 at shortstop. But seems like he's really played well there, and he hit the ball well all weekend. And he could be a very effective guy there at the bottom of the lineup like you had him this weekend.
Yeah, I kind of like it. I really do. It's like, you know, 9-hole, 1-hole, 2-hole. I mean, they're so similar, you know, in so many areas. And it's good to have a presence like him there, you know, especially if you're top of your orders, you know, been doing what they've been doing. So Ozzie's a ball player, you know, and he's done a great job, fabulous job defensively as well as offensively. And you know, we're glad he's here, and I speak on behalf of all the coaches. I know they feel the same way.
And then you've got Nick Monastere. Coach, is it rare to have a kid that can play so many different positions, and he just seems to play every position you put him in at a very high level? He had a game-saving, in a way, a game-saving play right after going to second base Saturday afternoon.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just fun to watch. You know, Nick's, you know, I just said it about Ozzie. I'll say it about him. He's just a ball player. He loves to play, and he doesn't really care where it's at. He said, yeah, I mean, you know, whether it's center, whether it's left, whether it's third, second, you know, heck, he's played first, I think, this year. I mean, I guess we'll put him behind the plate at some point, but you know, I say that jokingly. No, Nick's been great, and very, you know, his versatility is extremely important and valuable.
He struggled a little bit offensively, and when kids get in, I don't know if slump is the right word, what do you tell them about working their way out of those batting slumps, Coach?
usually you need to, you know, focus on the mind first. You need to make sure the thought process, the confidence level, your perspective, you know, how you look at things, and just make sure that you're in control of that. I think, you know, whether it's hitting, pitching, anything, you know, the mind's a powerful thing. And if you're using it the right way, you know, and if you're being honest too, you got to be honest with yourself. You know, we have a saying here that we say a lot, you know, when you stink, you stink. You know, and be admittance to it. No, I got to change something. I got to do something a little different here. So I think that's it. Just really make sure they get a hold of their mindset, and, you know, and just how they're thinking and what they're thinking. And because you got to control the mind if you expect to control the body.
All right, Coach, where did dude ball come from? I heard Tuna talking about how he got the dude ball this weekend.
I have no idea, and I would assume there's probably something from the offensive side, Coach Creel, or Coach Brewer, Coach Rhodes, or somebody probably threw that out there. I imagine it's kind of, I don't know the context it was used, but probably somebody, the dude of the game. I don't know, and the guy that gets the dude ball or game ball, heck, I don't know. So I think y'all have Coach Creel on Wednesday. You need to ask him that one.
All right, I got to run this by you, Coach. This was brought to my attention yesterday afternoon. Of course, you know, Danny Lynch was famous last year with that batting stance of his. Mm-hmm. And a couple of the people that watch baseball with me have started to notice a little wiggle in Tuna's batting stance when he comes up. He's not trying to take over where Danny left off, is he, Coach?
I sure hope not. And, but I don't know. But then again, if it works, you know, if he did that and then hit that home run, I'll take it. So I have no idea, you know.
We were kind of surprised what's got into Danny because, like, you know, for the previous 4 years, there was never a shot of him or a scene of him on the field where his mouth was closed. Now he's just he doesn't talk. I mean, I guess he talks over there sometimes, Coach.
Oh, trust me, he's talking. He is talking. I hear the same stuff I've heard for, you know, 5 years, you know, just a different light. So
along those lines, coaching wise, we got about a minute here left, but everybody, you know, while the pitching's going on, everybody sees Keller Bradford beside you. And I know you're happy to have him in a coaching role this year.
Absolutely. You know, he's doing what he's done really the last 2 years as well for me. And, you know, he takes a lot off my plate in regards to the organizational, the things that you don't want to have to deal with your pitchers and stuff. And he's a guy that types in, you know, calling pitches. I tell him, you know, what I want to throw, and he types it in because I'd lose my mind if I had to type that in every time. But he does a great job. He's a big help to me and does a great job with these pitchers as well.
All right, Coach, great week for Golden Eagle baseball. We sure appreciate your time each and every Monday, and we look forward to talking about the next week of games with you 1 week from today, sir.
All right, we appreciate you guys. Thanks for all you do. All right,
Coach Christian Ostrander, everybody. Quote of the day, God, I hope not, when it comes to Tuna imitating Danny Lynch. Can you imagine that, Tuna taking over for Danny Lynch?
It'd be really awkward because he's about, I don't know, what, 2 inches taller?
Yeah.
So
we'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
I want to thank Coach Oz for joining us, as he does every Monday. We'll have Coach Travis Creel on the show Wednesday. This segment of the show is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, our good friends down there right in the shadow of the rock. Great place for lunch. I got to get down and get me a Friday catfish lunch here again really soon. If you haven't, you should. It's very, very good. Thanks to 4th Street Bar and Grill for all they do. Also to Town and Country Cleaners, Hattiesburg's most trusted dry cleaners, family owned and operated since 1983. They offer services like steam pressing, shirt laundry, bulky bedding, minor alterations, and, of course, dry cleaning. You visit Town & Country Cleaners at their convenient location across from USM on Hardy Street. You can call them at 601-264-4920. Leading off the show tomorrow, we'll, of course, have Daniel Stewart, and we've got a great, great interview with Colby Allen that we're going to play while Daniel's on the air. But we're going to lead off the show tomorrow with women's basketball coach Joy Lee McNellis and Luke Johnson. That's because the ladies are not done. Dom Davis is going to get another opportunity to continue her college career in the NIT basketball tournament.
Yeah, congratulations to the Lady Eagles. And I was surprised last night when it came across. And what I mean by that is I text you guys, and we were all just like, oh, wow, we didn't know that was in the cards. But, right. Yeah, absolutely. Lady Eagles earned a at-large bid to the tournament. The bracket will release later today. If you go to the Women's NIT website, the teams are listed, but the bracket not. You would think probably the Lady Eagles, because of an at-large, may have to start on the road. The first round will be Wednesday through Friday of this week. So Lady Eagles will find out where they're going or who will come to them today. And then we'll, find out, what the bracket looks like. So 17th postseason appearance overall in program history. First trip to the women's NIT since 2017, but the fifth time they've been under Coach Joy Lee McNellis. Last time they lost to Little Rock in 2017, but everybody remembers in that 2015 the run. I think we hosted Michigan late March,
right.
Inside Reed Green. They won three games in that tournament.
Huge,
so it'd be fun to talk to Coach just kind of see if this was in the mix the whole time. But congratulations to the Lady Eagles.
And as we said, another game obviously for the whole team, but for Dom Davis and. More opportunity, Luke, for the WNBA scouts to look over Dom. And I guess after the tournament concludes, that's where she'll be headed. I think she's going to be doing some combines for the WNBA. You like her chances? I really do. I think she has a shot.
Yeah, the most important thing for Dom is, her health, to make sure that I don't know what the timeline looks like, but obviously want her to be able to operate at 100% and where she can really show her abilities. But from a scoring perspective, I think, there's no question she can compete at that level and they will have opportunities to do so.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot, Luke. I want you to fill in the blanks of this sentence. This year's Southern Miss baseball team is blank when compared to last year's regional championship team.
I mean, that's tough. I think they're deeper. And let me just start pitching-wise. So last year, you want to slam the door. Who do you put in?
The Storm.
You put in Storm, okay? An example was the other day, Billy Oldham throws eight innings of one-hit baseball, and – or maybe he gave up a second hit in the eighth. I can't remember. Allen comes in and throws four and a third inning of shutout baseball. Sively gave you two and two-thirds the night before shutout relief. You also have Middleton. You also have English. All of these guys can be put in and just – trusted, I should say, maybe that's a better word, trusted with, putting up zeros. And Coach Oz, I thought it was really cool the way he takes up for his guys. He talked about, English got dinged yesterday, but talking about how he can, protect him a little more. You've also got Chase Adams down there. As we will continue to have midweeks. But when you're talking about postseason play, and Sun Belt Conference play, tournament play, Cole Boswell, you've got him out there. We hadn't seen Chandler Best in a few weeks. I mean, it's staggering to think about, but just with those four we listed, Sively, Allen, English, and Middleton, those are guys that have the potential to put up two innings or more of zeros, particularly the way Allen is pitching right now. So I think depth wise, they're like that. I think hitting wise, more patient because that was an approach that they took in the offseason. But at the same time, you're having to see growth. The most obvious place right now where there has to be more growth is the catching position. And catcher is kind of like second base. Remember last year, we all thought Gabe Lacy was just going to take it by the horns. This year, we all thought Nolan Tucker was going to take it by the horns. And you remember, it wasn't until, mid-season when Monastere took it over. I think that's what's going to happen at the catching position. So, you know, there's a lot of similarities. I just think overall, while they're younger, and there are old heads on this team, they are younger, there's more depth there skill-wise.
Here's something I think you'll definitely agree. We had some players tell us before the season started, when we asked about the loss of so many veteran players, we have guys just as talented on the bench. No one knows because they didn't get a chance to get on the field, but you're going to be really surprised when you see how talented they are. 1,000%, Luke, this is a really talented young baseball team.
I mean, and the guys that you didn't see play that have experience. I mean, Billy Butler right now in the 360s. The two guys that are leading in hitting right now, average wise, it's their first year to play at Southern Miss.
Right.
With McIntyre and Butler. So yeah, absolutely. And I think you're starting to see, you know, Wilkes. The thing I want from Slade is I want. He started out slow and then he got red hot. Right now he's at 253. It's important for Slade to continue to hit at this level the further we get in conference play. Last year he had a little of a dip, you know, later in the second half of the season. But to Coach, going back to the catcher position, to echo what Coach said, he wants an alpha back there. He wants somebody that's going to take the position, not just with their glove, but he wants somebody to take the position with their bat. And he did it this weekend. Odom started a game. Stockman started a game. Keyes started a game. One's a redshirt freshman. The other two are true freshmen. So it's anybody's position for the taking.
All right, we're going to hear this week from Colby Allen, Nick Monastere, and Davis Gillespie. Had some great conversations with those three kids after the game Saturday afternoon. I mentioned Monastere to Coach Oz and how versatile a player he is. Hard to imagine you could have a whole lot of players in the country that could play so many different positions at such a high level. But I want to talk for just a minute about Davis Gillespie. 2 weeks ago, we would have said the two unsettled positions are catcher and first base. I think right now it's impossible to take Davis Gillespie off of first base with this vicious bat that he swings, Luke.
Yeah, right now 14 RBIs. I think that's second on the team behind Pato. He and Wilkes are at 14 RBIs. And I mean, Davis has played in 12 games, and Carson and Slade have played in 20 games. So he's almost equal with them with eight less games. And there is going to be times, like yesterday, ball, you know, he missed the line drive. But, I mean, he's got to grow into that. He's a redshirt freshman, and we have seen him, though, flash the leather at first base and make some plays. So you know, that's the trade-off a little bit as he grows in the position defensively. But, man, I'll tell you what, he's the real deal. And what did I say? He said that. What did he – old boy. That old boy can hit.
Yeah.
And he can.
I think catcher still – I don't think we know who's the guy, do we?
We don't. And it I think any college baseball program is okay with having two guys. But the reason he's playing three is to try to find who's going to be the lead dog at that position. And I thought, I mean, at this point, Keyes and Odom – would be more, you know, average guys. Stockman's got some pop, but neither one of them have taken over. You know, right now, just going back to them, if you're looking at the stats, Keyes doesn't have a hit. He's only got six at-bats because he's only started two games. Odom right now, after his real hot start, he's at 226. Stockman's at 136. So, again, it's whoever wants it can have it.
Yep, Luke and I yesterday visiting with the father of Gabe and Rodrigo Montenegro, a good friend of ours. He reported that Gabe has gotten a coaching job, a high school coaching job. Miami was, did I hear that right, Luke?
I think he's in Tampa. I think Tampa. That's where it's going to be. But he's going to graduate with his master's in May. And by the way, congratulations, Gabe got engaged in the last week or so. If you hadn't seen that video, go on Twitter. They were in San Diego in the Penguin exhibit where he proposed. It's pretty cool. Congrats,
Rodrigo.
Gabe.
Rodrigo, I think, is the one that got engaged. I could be wrong. Gabe Montenegro, though, coaching high school baseball, you know he'll be a good one. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Back on a Monday, Eagle Hour from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, Luke Johnson, and Bob Getty. If you missed our two-segment interview, weekly interview with Southern Miss head baseball coach Christian Ostrander, you can go back and listen to the Eagle Hour on demand later today, supertalk.fm. Or in podcast form, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or Audible. Or you can just ask Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you. Women's golf over the weekend out in Saddlebrook, Arizona at the Preserve Golf Club, finishing 12th out of 15th. And they will get ready for the ULM Invitational next week over in Monroe, Louisiana. Men's golf. Southern Miss currently 15th out of 20 teams in Humble, Texas at the Golf Club of Houston for the All-American Intercollegiate. Southern Miss starting their first round today. And Robbie Ladder right now 3-over, Southern Miss 11-over as a team. Softball over the weekend, won the first game against ULM and then dropped games 2 and 3. It was a doubleheader on Saturday because of the rain in Hattiesburg. One game won 6-1, lost game 2-7-3, and then fell in game 3 by a score of 3-0. Ladies 12 and 14 on the year. They'll look to rebound this coming Wednesday down in Thibodaux against Nichols, and then they will host Marshall for a three-game conference series this weekend. Beach volleyball was down in Youngsville, Louisiana, for the Sugar Beach Bash 2024. They win 2 of 5 games, defeat Stephen F. Austin in Southeastern, falling to actually, 4 games, I'm sorry, falling to New Orleans and UAB. Ladies get back out on the beach this coming Friday in Huntsville, Alabama, for the midseason seeding tournament in the Sun Belt Conference. Sun Belt play over the weekend. Surprising, Bob. Georgia State sweeps South Alabama at Stanky Field. Old Dominion takes care of Georgia Southern, who the Eagles play this coming weekend. Old Dominion wins 2 out of 3 in Norfolk. Texas State wins 2 out of 3 at home against Appalachian State. Troy takes 2 out of 3 from ULM in Monroe. The Raging Cajuns go to Jonesboro and take 2 of 3 from Arkansas State. And then this was eyebrow raising. Coastal beats the dog out of James Madison. James Madison comes back and wins game 2, and then game 3. Coastal won by 1 run in extra innings. So James Madison, a team to look out for. And something got brought to my attention, Bob, and it'll be interesting for us. We learn maybe when this happened if we get Sun Belt people on later this spring. But apparently the 10-run rule in the Sun Belt is in effect in every game throughout the series. There were 10-run rules on Friday and Saturday this weekend. So you remember – the way it was in Conference USA, you can only 10-run on game 3 on Sunday. It's not like that in the Sun Belt.
Yeah, no question. We've got a great show tomorrow, Luke. We're going to have Joy Lee on about the NIT. We're going to have Daniel Stewart and Colby Allen, and so we'll have a little mixture of both. Let me take you back to that Coastal game. My wife and I actually caught a good bit of that game before we left yesterday for our game, and they were down in the bottom of the ninth. They had a runner at third and a runner at first with one out, and the catcher let the ball get by him. He couldn't find it. It was actually right behind him, and the pitcher had to come find the ball. Well, that allowed the runner at first to get to second, and then a base hit with two outs tied the game. So that's how close they came to knocking off Coastal 2 out of 3. And, of course, I was pulling for James Madison. You know, I want Coastal as far back in the standings as they could get. But great comment made to me yesterday by my good friend Larry Warren. He said this was when the game was really close. He said, if Marshall is the worst team in the league, we better have our best game every weekend. And true, because, you know, Marshall's not really highly rated, and they were competitive, Luke. Those kids never quit fighting.
They didn't. And Blevins on Saturday, he was second, I think, in all conference pitchers in ERA so far. And I can't remember the last time that a visiting pitcher has been given a standing ovation at the Peak.
Correct.
And that kid deserved it. He was mixing his pitches. He wasn't a heater by any means, but, man, he spotted and he threw his off-speed stuff well, and we couldn't figure him out at all. And, you know, going back, because we asked Oz about it, but that was obstruction on Saturday. Whether or not you like the rule is completely different. But the umpire sets himself up to be able to have the best view of the plate, but he's staring down that line to two to see if the runner is obstructed, and he was. And so, you know, it stinks for Marshall. I don't really like the rule. It benefited us. Whatever, but yeah, there was obstruction Saturday.
And to clarify, if you missed the first part of the show, Oz says the Marshall coach was pretty vocal and using some pretty crusty language at the end of that game, but that it was not directed at him as it may have appeared on TV. It was directed at the officials. So just to
wasn't directed that. At Mount St. Mary's. Wasn't direct. It may have been directed at Ole Miss. Because it is Ole Miss week around here, so we can say that.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. All right, Ole Miss tomorrow, and hopefully we'll be giving you a good report come Wednesday. All right, great show tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Thanks for tuning in today. Until next time, Southern Miss.
To the top. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.